This podcast is not affiliated with any Grand Lodge.
And the ridiculous opinions and antics of the hosts and guests are their own.
And should be dismissed immediately.
I mean, how are you doing? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
We go to the same barber.
Not
good
sure
evening.
I live here,
welcome to Studio 357.
We're live already? Good Lord. Okay.
Well, maybe. I think I hit the button.
Okay.
Welcome to Studio 357, Masonic Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Our co-host and executive producer, Brother Heath. To my left, we have Worshipful Brother Jason. How did I screw that up? We have...
Have another drink.
To the far, my far right... We have Worshipful Brother Dave, and then to my second right, Dave's left, Heath's right, your left right. We have
somewhere in the middle. I'm in the middle.
We have the current Worshipful Master of Beehive Lodge 184 in Omaha.
Ta-da!
When this releases, he will be Worshipful Brother David.
I will.
And he's just going to say, deuces, I'm out.
I'm out.
Have fun.
It's guys. Time for Austin's time in the spotlight.
He says, time for a vacation in the Bahamas.
I wish. Especially with this weather.
See, what have we been up to since last episode?
Work.
Work.
Some more work.
Work.
Shoveling nothing. Snow.
Shoveling
a lot of snow.
Snow.
Freezing.
Freezing.
Very much so. Freezing.
Bitter, I think the... at the time we're recording this... What did you guys say the wind chill was?
Negative 42.
Oh, 42. That's not even fun.
42.
I don't like it when the air bites.
Nope.
Lots of installations and both Tangier, Sesostris, and Tehama Shrines in Nebraska. And the installations, well, units and clubs here in Omaha. So, yeah, it's been a busy few weeks.
So, between when we film this and when we release it, our lodge will have our installation.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll.
So yeah. We'll be sideline, maybe chaplain.
Yep, I'll follow. Jay Austin wants me as his chaplain next year. So.
I'm going down as Tyler.
Are you?
Oh, okay.
Nice touch.
You're famous Tyler.
So you go from to the hallway.
Yeah, yeah. Worshipful Master to the bottom of the totem pole in 2 years.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a pretty good career plan.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah.
And then you'll be junior warden.
Yep.
I'll be senior warden. And we already know your secretary.
For I'm the secretary life, treasurer for life.
Life sentence.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah, so... We introduced Worshipful Master David, and he's going to do something fun for us. So he has an alter ego. So I would also like to introduce, if you could just kind of change your face real quick.
See.
This is the past master of Local Yokel Lodge number 17823. Can only be found if you take a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah.
This is Brother Jebediah Brokejaw.
Yeah, Jebediah Brokejaw.
See, I'm messing everything up tonight. I'm going to have another one of those segments of what I screwed up.
Yeah, maybe.
His lodge sidelines are filled with sheep, and his staff is always at the ready.
Yes, it is. Yes.
He's proficient in the old barn degree.
Yes.
Where they raise masons and barns on the same day.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Right.
It's pretty awesome.
So please welcome him to our show. We hope he churns out stories like he churns butter. That's a little reference to the Amish beard. Yeah. And so at this point, we'll actually give Brother Jebediah his the reins on his first segment. So we'll take a quick break. We'll go to the news, and we'll see you in 3 to 5 business days.
And welcome to Masonic Education with your brother, Jebediah Brokejaw. Today, we're going to teach you about a famous Mason from Nebraska. That being William Frederick Buffalo Bill Cody. He was part of the Wild West, and most of us know who he was. He was raised in North Platte Lodge. November 5th, 1870, and was raised a month later on April 2nd, 1870. He is a member of the York Rite, became a Knight Templar in 1889, and he became a 32nd degree member of the Scottish Rite in 1894. He was an active Mason and received a full Masonic funeral. He was an American Army Scout, bison hunter, and a showman. He came to embody the spirit of the West and was a legend called Buffalo Bill. The man who gave the Wild West its name, Cody cultivated and nurtured Buffalo Bill persona. He lived for several years in his father's hometown in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, before the family reunited in the Midwest and settled in the Kansas Territory. And so, in Masonic news, we have Nova Scotia, Canada, having their installation in their lodge. Ta-da!
No, totally don't stop sneezing. hey, we're back.
Oh, yeah.
We are. We are definitely back.
Yep.
Yeah.
We are. Let's do this.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a lot slower than it was with Jebediah and his buggy. I thought the episode was going to be a lot slower, but it was good. That was good. So,
if you had 12 of them and put them in a half circle, you'd have a full set of teeth.
No doubt.
Yeah, you're right. Them y'all faithful out there.
Yeah. So, let's switch. Change your face back to Worshipful Master David. Let's tell everybody about your Masonic resume. Well, I mean, we all know it, but they don't.
No, a lot of them don't know it. All y'all know it. Started off, God, I've been around the shrine since I was, what, 5?
Yeah, 26 years ago.
26 years ago. So, yeah, I've been around the shrine for a long time. What brought me into the shrine was my father. I've watched them be a shriner for all my life. I've been a Mason for 12 so years, and actually was raised with one of our mayor's sons at that time, Lee Terry Sr. So.
I wasn't mayor.
Oh, no.
That's congressman.
Our congressman, yeah. So
he's more important.
Yeah, a little more important, but yeah. And then just one of our scoutmaster's sons at that time, he's actually now a captain of one of the nuclear submarines for the United States Navy. So.
Fancy.
Yeah, that's
pretty picky.
Yeah, that's very picky.
Not bad for an Amish guy.
Yeah, but yeah, I've just been around. I'm cruising cushion just like the rest of these guys. Absolutely love it. How my Super Dave dad came up with the idea from our clowns group, and them two matched it up. It's been an absolute ball.
No pun intended. It has been a wild ride.
It has. It has. Just watching how our progress has gone from each chair to better and better. Just the more ideas that we've had has just been insane.
The best part of it all is we have to get the opportunity to interact with the people on the sidelines of the parade.
Yep, right.
Where we can roll right up to them, interact with them, talk with them.
Give stickers to the kids.
Yes.
I would say 3 out of the 5 of us got to experience what the go-karts were like.
Yeah.
You had to focus on what you're doing. You can't... All the people that we do now with the cruising cushions were, hey, where do I get one of those when we're driving around a go-kart? You got to focus and make sure you're not hitting a kid, or some kid walks out in front of you, or some stuff like that.
Or not hitting each other.
Or hitting each other, yeah. Yes.
We'd play Follow the Leader. Dave, I can't believe you drive for a living.
I just like it cutting it close. That was all.
Yeah. I don't know. What's the record of dumping this?
We might have.
I'm up there.
I think you're number one on that board pretty well.
No, Dave crashed his chair twice in the same
parade. That's very true. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So. Well, you have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Actually, we've kind of covered the first three questions, so bang up job with that. Like a 3-for-1 special.
That's what us Amish do.
He says we don't have time to mess around. So we'll go around the table with this one. How do you explain Freemasons, or how do you explain the fraternity to non-Masons?
For me, how I put it as, it's a men's fraternity, but there's no kind of initiation to it, but
There's no paddles.
There's no paddles. There's no getting super drunk or have to do beer challenges and stuff like that. Naked miles or stuff like that.
At least not for the initiation.
Yeah, not for the initiation. Yeah. Yeah.
That's for after the parade.
But also put it as we're taking either a young men or older gentlemen and either a making them better men or giving them more knowledge as a man to come later on in the future.
Yeah.
Because right now, and I'm kind of proud to say this, I have literally between me and Jason have brought the youngest group of Masons in Nebraska. We have the youngest age group right now.
Yeah.
And all of the lodges in Nebraska, we have between Heath and a couple of our other guys, we have a lodge age of 32 right now.
That's the
median age of our lodge right now is 32.
So I think in the last 2 years we've brought in, what, 7 guys?
Yeah.
That are under the age of 25.
Under the age of 25, yes.
Which before that, the median age of our lodge had to have been at least 65.
Right. Yeah, easy.
Had to have been.
Easy. Yeah.
So, which is a problem everywhere.
It is, absolutely. Yeah.
But like we touched on the first segment, that I think this younger generation is looking for something more than the norm. They're looking for something more social. They're looking for something more
absolutely
that they can contribute to the community. So it's hopefully this is a regeneration of our fraternity.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think if you look at the history of membership, I mean, obviously we had the big explosion after World Wars 1 and 2. But outside of that, where these military members are coming back and looking for membership into something, I think it's always ebbed and flowed, numbers up and down. I don't think it will ever be what it was after World War II.
No. Probably not.
No.
Which is fine. And Masonry is not dying.
No.
No.
You know, it's
only if you let it die.
It's just not going to be as big as it was in the 50s.
No.
I mean,
and people are involved so much more in other stuff. They're you know, it seems like there's been an explosion of things to do, and so people get involved in more than just one thing.
Right.
So,
and that's where I think it's our job, piggybacking off of him as a you know, making people better, but you know, showing them ones to get involved. It's a brotherhood.
Yep.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you're looking for something that's going to make you a better person or feel like you're around individuals that are loved and just, you know, it's just good to be a part of it. You know, instead of just, you might be able to go anywhere, go to a game, get involved in something else that may not be Masonic related, but you're not going to get that camaraderie and brotherhood that you're going to get as being a Mason.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, I think any of us, especially at this table, would bend over backwards for each other.
Yes, absolutely.
If at all possible, you know. So that male fraternity of loving each other and backing each other up, no matter what, I think it's a crucial thing for us.
Mm-hmm. I think where a lot of organizations, some of their initiations and the way they carry out business. Not calling anybody out, but you know, like people do things out of maybe fear of getting kicked out. Like they'll help somebody out because they're afraid of what'll happen if they don't.
Don't.
Yeah.
Where we as brothers, we help each other out because that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a huge difference. We help each other because we want to, not because we fear something that we don't.
Oh, we're just building each other up.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Yeah,
it's like the motto. It's making good men better.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of a tagline, but it's true.
It's true. Yeah.
Just like you get out what you put in. You know, everybody says that about a lot of things, but I've never seen it more true than in this fraternity.
Yeah.
I always tell people that it's a fraternity for men, and it's men helping men be better. But if I tell people we're built on faith, morality, honesty, and if you're looking down on another man, you should probably have your hand out to help him up.
Sure.
You know, and that's just kind of how it is. You know, given the current conditions, you see somebody stuck in the snow, you get out and help them push the car. I mean, you don't know them. You know, I've met so many Masons that it did Grand Lodge, or I know we were at a scout camp about an hour and a half away by Onawa, Iowa. And I had to leave the scout camp and run to town and get some sodas or whatever. I don't even remember why I went to town, but I was coming back and I was getting on the interstate and there was a camper with a flat tire. And I was just coming around the corner. I was going slow enough that I noticed there was a square and compass on the back of this camper. So, pull over. I mean, I was probably going to pull over anyways, but I got to meet that gentleman and his wife. They were an older couple, and he was really struggling, you know, trying to change the tire. I don't remember their names. I put it all over Facebook that I got to meet them. It was such a pleasure just to meet a brother out. Like out in the wild, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a good old boy, and you know, in his bib overalls, and they were just trying to get somewhere to enjoy the weekend, and it was, but that was cool.
And kind of touch on that, this fraternity has such a broad basis of men.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, anywhere from a congressman or a senator to a mayor to someone who is rather fluent in funds within your own community to truck drivers and insurance men and mechanics, you know. The old Beehive in South Omaha was so large at one time, they had three divisions. Lodge had to meet on three different nights, and they broke it up in between the stockyards guys, railroad guys, and the blue-collar guys. Mm-hmm. You know, so you always had a big variety of men that you meet in this organization.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun that we can rub elbows with the Joe that's fluent in business and the us guys are just kind of the grunts of the world. So
yeah.
So it's kind of fun that way too. So
yeah, it's funny you mention that because I've found that the people that work with their hands do all the work. Which is good.
Yeah.
I mean there's some people we would not want working in the kitchen.
No,
you're right. Yeah,
just sometimes I wish it wasn't us.
I enjoy it.
I actually do too.
I do too.
It is a lot of work, but it is fun.
Especially when it comes to hamburger nights, we're one of the more organized groups out of the Shrine for hamburger nights. We keep it pretty rolling, pretty good. We have lots of fun in the back. It's just it's a good time. We don't consider it working. We actually have fun doing it and getting it done and helping provide meals to our Shriners and their families and whoever else comes from the outside world.
And then getting the snack.
We have to do quality control on the onion rings.
Yes.
Why are we full before the first half hour?
Right. So I'm going to jump into a controversial question.
Okay.
There's no arm or no back on that chair.
Nope.
So I've heard this come up and discussed a few times. Given today's whatever you want to call it, the climate of today's society. I know it's a little different in our building because our lodge is inside a secured building. But do you think? Again, thinking other lodges, do you think that the Tyler should be armed with something besides a sword, namely a firearm, or should there be a safety committee appointed by the Worshipful Master to keep the members safe when either in lodge or entering or exiting lodge? I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard of the story of the Worshipful Master in Texas that was shot leaving a lodge by an anti-Masonic weirdo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the guy was just leaving his lodge, stayed late to lock everything up, let his brethren go home, and he died. There's the red light. Yep. And we're back. Again, we had some technical difficulties. Yep. Mr. Producer-type dude.
Yeah. Damn, producer?
Hard to produce it. I'm sitting right here.
that's a pretty valid point.
Yeah.
So, Brother Dave was starting to talk about
the controversy of
being
armed or not.
That's the
with more than just a sword at the door.
Right.
Controversial for those, I guess, who don't like firearms would be controversial.
Yeah.
But again, it's us looking out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it takes at this moment in time, be armed with more than a sword, then I think it should be.
Is there anything? There anything at the lodge level, bylaws, Grand Lodge, anything that says you cannot have a firearm in lodge?
There is.
There is. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you are a officer that is carrying, then it is permitted. So,
like a law enforcement.
Law enforcement officer.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So, otherwise, it's not allowed.
Okay.
So, again, that sets us up to being targets, which has happened at lodge levels where drive-bys have happened and so forth. We need to watch out for each other and maybe take that extra step if we see that the threat is a promising threat. Course.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know at least the three of us have our concealed carry permit, and I generally carry just about everywhere I go.
Right.
That's permitted. Obviously, I'm not going to carry at the bank or whatever, but I cringe walking into a store that says no firearms allowed. You're advertising to the bad guys, hey, come rob this place.
Yes. Right.
Yep.
Because nobody's carrying a gun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the part I don't want to get political, and we don't need to go down this rabbit hole.
No.
But what I don't understand about people that support gun control is the bad guys don't care.
Absolutely.
You can make guns as illegal as you want to. Heroin is illegal, and more people die from heroin than anything else in this country.
Absolutely.
So the bad guys don't care.
Right.
So your argument of making guns illegal doesn't math in my mathing.
Right.
It's not working.
I tend to agree, though, with Dave. Like he said, is it really a controversy? No. I mean, if your lodge agrees upon it, if you guys, your committee comes together and you say, hey, we should allow this, then why not?
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
There's safety measures behind that. I mean, and it's not like it's not like none of us that have the concealed carry have not gone through classes, that have not, you know, shot a gun or not done anything. We're not,
yeah,
we're not stupid, you know.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And it's we're not just handing it to anybody, you know.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, the guy in Texas is it wasn't the first thing. I mean, there's an obvious threat, really worldwide.
There is.
Absolutely. Whether it happens to be, you know, with a gun or with a knife, or even if they're just gonna beat the guys up because they're Masons. I mean, you have to defend yourself at some line.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just as much as we believe so strongly in the fraternity, there are people out there that believe just as strong against us.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
I think it's unwarranted. I granted, we're biased. I think it's ignorance, and people are afraid of what they don't know.
Right.
But really, what they don't know is there's nothing to know. Like, we're just good guys.
Yeah. The biggest secret is that there's no secrets.
Right?
Anyway, we were talking earlier. We went to go pick up our new microphone. By the way, I hope this fixed our audio problem. We're still going to get better, but this microphone is a little expensive for us because I'm kind of a tight ass.
Me too.
Just because you squeak when you walk. Come
right,
on.
Right. Use my butt crack for a credit card swiper. Where are we going with this? Oh, we were talking. Heath works with a gentleman who's a huge conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a theory that even though we're Masons and we say there's no conspiracy, maybe we're just not at the level to know the secrets. Right?
Okay. Sure.
And as much as you can tell the guy that, you know, Master Mason is the highest level of masonry, because
mm-hmm.
we are all on the level.
Mm-hmm.
The people that don't want to believe it are never going to believe it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're a 32nd degree Mason. The rest of us are third degree Masons, right? Yeah.
Yep.
You don't consider yourself any higher than us, or lower. You don't consider us lower.
I mean, regardless, we're all still Master Masons. Whether we're a third or a 32nd, we're still Master Masons.
There's a reason it's called the Sublime Degree.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, the 4th through the 32nd are all just additional learning.
More knowledge.
More knowledge.
Right.
Which I want to get into big time. You guys do, I want to get into that and start learning more about masonry. Mm-hmm. Especially now that my term is winding down as master, I can get into some more stuff instead of having shrine and masonry take over my life pretty much this year. It really is a job.
It's a second job.
It just really is a second job.
Yeah, it's time to get the stack of cash out and start dumping.
Yeah, and your full-time job takes a lot of your time.
Yes, it does.
I know both of you guys are up somewhere between midnight and 2 in the morning to go
usually
to
Usually 2, 3, yeah.
I'm up a little later than him. I drive around town here, so that's
the
nice
they've been
name.
Changing your area.
That's not going to change anymore. I will not let them take me back off of Omaha again. They can have the schools because I hate delivering schools. They are a pain in the butt.
But kids, you'll say that, and then next week they'll change it.
Yeah, probably.
The kids got to get their milk.
Yes.
Where are we at? Okay, we'll take this for Brother David, and we'll see if anybody else has anything to, were there any more 2 cents to put in. What do you think, or ideas you have to pique interest in Masons, to get guys back to Lodge, or to bring more fresh blood into the fraternity?
I know we really can't recruit. That's the unfortunate thing about our fraternity. We can't go out there and be like, hey, come join Masonry. We kind of have to propose to somebody, hey, come be a Mason. I think you are as a good man. But maybe putting some ads out there. I don't know if we can legally do that. Put some ads about Masonry out there and be hey, come join us. Be kind of like something like the Army or Marines does. Come join us. Come have fun. I guess within the Marines. I shouldn't say the Marines and Army is fun.
Hey, but come eat some crayons. As a jarhead, I can tell you, there are small parts that were fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot that was not
fun. Yeah. But just kind of maybe some promotional stuff, like maybe us getting out to more events. I know we do state fair. Why don't we go to some more of these county fairs, like in each county? We're losing a lot of lodges right now out west because there's a lot of older gentlemen out in the western counties. We're losing a lot of members, and we're closing lodges, unfortunately.
There's a lot
out
of consolidation.
And which is very an unfortunate thing, but you get out in these western counties out in Nebraska, there's not a whole lot of big towns.
You do
these all small little podunk towns here and there, and it's kind of hard to keep Freemasons engaged because they got to travel an hour and a half. What if we tried to do some more online stuff? I know some of those older guys aren't quite engaged in the internet learning or something like that, or Skype or any of those Zoom meeting stuff, but there's some more stuff I think we can do as Mason is to promote ourselves. We're not doing it.
There are, I don't know the names, so I apologize. There are virtual lodges.
Okay.
There's more than one. I'm not sure how many. You basically have to email the guy that's in charge. He will vet you with your Grand Lodge.
Okay.
And it's an actual tiled meeting on Zoom. And I'm honestly quite interested in it because we could be on a Zoom meeting right now in a lodge, in a tiled lodge. I'm sitting right here. To me, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot more technology than we had back in the early 80s and 90s where we could get on the internet and put out maybe some brochures or just getting ourselves involved more in the community. And I know with our lodge, it's kind of hard to do because the guys that come to lodge are the guys that are either A, going to be on this podcast, or just guys that don't have anything to do that night. They'll come back to Lodge. And since I've come into Lodge, we've lost a lot of guys coming back to meetings. We've lost three of our main guys that used to be there all the time during our meetings. And I know life gets busy and it gets hard. I had to step away from Masonry for I moved mm-hmm. away. I went to college. But I think there's more that we can do virtually and getting ourselves out there.
I think so. And I don't have the end-all, beat-all answer, but it... You know, Brother Derek, there's your third episode in a row with a shout-out. He's right. A meeting can't just be the business.
Yes, 100%.
It's the dinners before, the camaraderie, it's the... And I get it, especially with your guys' work schedule. I mean, I'm up at 4:30. You're up about the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I can't hang out downtown Omaha until 9, 10 o'clock at night. I just can't do it.
No.
You're an insurance guy, so you have banker's hours. but yeah, it is tough. And we are such a wide group of people that, quite honestly, this podcast... is the one thing we were talking about this today. It's like, this is the one thing that really brings everybody in our lodge together.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic to me. That's hands down to the four of you out there watching. To me, this is a success. Mm-hmm. We're having fun. We're talking about Masonry. We're doing the same things we do on a normal weekend night. We're just letting other people see it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But there is still some fun stuff behind the scenes that you guys don't get to see. So come and be on the show. Hang out in the listener lounge, play some pop darts, have some fun.
And back on like the recruiting thing, with Facebook and all social media and stuff like this nowadays, you know, you can't advertise and be like, hey, you guys should be Masons, but there's nothing saying against that. You know, do you want to learn about Freemasonry? Contact your local Grand Lodge. That's not recruiting.
No.
That's saying, well, this is here. If you want to know about it, contact us.
That's no different than to be one, ask one. Right.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
Like, I think we could be visible in the community
mm-hmm.
and say, here's who we are, here's the kind of men we are, here's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested, here's what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It should be, why aren't you a Mason?
Right.
Yeah.
There isn't really much of a reason why you shouldn't be part of this fraternity, because you and this group could do so much for yourself, your family, your community, that there's no reason why you shouldn't be a Mason.
Yeah.
I've got a very good friend of mine who recently, maybe not recently, in the last couple of years, he's beat cancer. I'm not going to super call him out because he's probably not watching, but he might, just because we're buddies. His name is Doug, and I've approached. He's a super great guy, and I've approached him. You probably know him from scouting.
Yep.
I said, hey, I think you would make a really good Mason. Like, you're the kind of man that we enjoy being around. He's like, oh, I don't join groups like that because I'm an asshole. I said, have you met me? Right? Assholes can still thrive in this fraternity.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You do.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do.
I think I'm doing okay.
We love you to death, but you have your asshole tendency sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Everybody does.
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes the Marine is hard to chase out.
You eat crayons for a reason, so.
Yes. My favorite is the purple.
Yeah, I can bet it is.
I just imagine it tastes like plums.
Oh. Well, because, you know, the fraternity is such, like, the diverse group of people
mm-hmm.
that you're going to have the hard asses, the quiet type, the one that wants to work behind the scenes and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
And so we need that asshole be part of the group because that's who we are. That's how the society is. Well, such a
if I
diverse...
can be that token asshole for you, buddy.
Yeah, you're
Worship Brother Tom and I talked last episode that he and I are complete polar opposites.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is he's very sensitive. He's in his feels, and God love him for that. I love him for that. I'm not that way.
No.
But the only feeling that I express is pissed off. So if I'm not yelling at you or punching somebody, I'm in a pretty good mood. But yeah, I mean, you're right. The diversity of people that you meet, and nobody's perfect. We can all strive to be, but we're never going to get there.
Right.
God, I think Wonder Dave
never made anybody perfect.
Wonder Dave was pretty perfect.
No, not coming from his son it was, and I will never want to see him in a Wonder Woman costume ever again in my life.
There seemed to be a gigantic spike of people with optometrist appointments. let's move on. We're getting low on time here. Quickfire, what's the best way to learn ritual?
To keep coming every single time to rituals. Every time you come to a degree work, I learned something. I went through the short form and I regret it. I went through a one day and I absolutely regret it because I didn't get anything out of it. I still learn everything. Every single time that I do degree work, I learn something new or... What was that word? I've never really thought of that word until today. Yeah. What's that wording mean, or what's that phrase mean?
Or sometimes we get help from somebody from a different lodge.
Absolutely.
And theirs is slightly different.
Yeah.
And then you're right. After the conference of the degree, you go up to that brother and say, "Hey, what was that thing you said? I haven't heard that before." And it's usually a really easy explanation.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but it's just
I learn every single time, no matter what. I've seen so many Master Mason degrees since I've been in. Between you guys, I've seen...
Hang on, Jason's dying.
Jason's dying! Oh, no!
I'm sorry.
Jason's not dying on us.
No. Everybody pause. Not you guys. You get to see him die.
But yeah, like, coming to degree work, being part of degree work, it changes you. It keeps making you learn. Like, I've stepped into the world of Senior Warden this year of... doing ritual work, and I do the apron one, and I love doing the apron one. I mess it up most of the times and don't make it perfect, but we're the only ones that know.
But you have our ritual senior deacon right here to keep me.
Yep, and
that's a good point. Doing ritual, I'm afraid to do ritual because I don't remember anything. But like your brother-in-law, your uncle Byron says. Screw it up. The candidate won't know.
Canada will never know.
So, and he's right.
But yeah, I think that's the best way to do ritual is just to keep practicing, keep coming to degree work. And like I've noticed you and you both this year, you pay attention more because you're moving up in the chairs. Yeah. You actually pay attention to the brothers in front of you. That's how I come to the Master Mason. I watch my dad. I watched my brother-in-law, and then I watched Jason last year because he was right ahead of me. And you just don't just fiddle your thumbs and lodge. Listen to your brothers. You'll learn the wording.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you mouth or say the wording with that person in that position and start learning that way.
Yep.
So
I do that in my head.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's just the best way to do it. That's the only way I can think is just keep coming.
Mm-hmm. You know, even last year... I still screw up. Junior warden, senior warden, when to put the damn pillar up and down, I screw it up all the time. But even as last year as junior warden, I mean, I'm still mouthing stuff for the junior deacon. You know, his lines.
Right.
And I think it's important for the farther you move up to still remember.
Absolutely, where you
the
came
lines,
where
because that's
you.
Where the mentorship comes in. You know.
And that's another crucial piece is mentors, especially for your new candidates that. You take somebody that's fairly knowledgeable of the ritual work, pairing up with a brand new candidate, they learn the new ritual that they're trying to advance on, but you also
dead
get... Not dead yet?
Good.
Cool.
No, that's good.
But that new member gets to know somebody on a more personable side.
Yeah.
And if we spread that mentorship throughout the whole lodge with new candidates, then these new guys are going to know different people in the lodge, and that's going to only going to grow your lodge and build on it and make it stronger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
sure. Yeah, we had Brother Tyson over. We mentioned in the first episode. Excuse me.
It's no excuse for you.
Give me bubbles in the rum and squirt here. We had Brother Tyson over, our newest EA, and we just hung out. We did talk a little bit of Masonic stuff. And he said he was meeting with you the next day to go over some of the catechism.
Yep. And he's getting it down well. He's doing well.
He's super intelligent.
He's gonna give this one
give me a run for my
right
money.
Here. He's gonna give him a run for his money. Heath is.
He's going for the coin.
Good. He should.
He should. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I've told him he's gonna single-handedly like double the IQ level of our lodge.
No, yeah. No doubt.
The guy's so smart.
He's gonna go from averaging like 4 to 4.
I R Joe. But yeah, he's a great guy. And I think another thing too is get our younger guys. I mean, the young guys that came into Lodge that did bring our median age so far down. They come to Lodge. They're really good about coming to Lodge.
Yes.
They really are. For young guys. They don't meet at every meeting, but they're at most of them. But it's I don't feel like we're
giving them anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we giving them to keep them coming back?
Yeah.
You know, I know two of them you were the scoutmaster for. One of them was also in Boy Scouts and one of your very good friends. Mm-hmm. But I don't want them to just come to Lodge because it's an obligation.
Right.
I want them to come to Lodge because they want to come to Lodge.
Lodge, yeah.
I know you and I had talked at one time about just maybe forcing them to get involved. Like when we have a discussion with something, somebody makes a motion and we bring it up and we talk about discussion. I know you as secretary, you have asked one of the guys, say, hey, what do you think about this? And I think that's a great way to get them mentally invested in decisions in a lodge. Because they are the future of our lodge, whether we like it or not. Yep. You know, the old guys that are set in their ways, they've got to step aside at some point. I mean, you lean on the wisdom, but the new guys are where it's at. It's where it's coming from. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, that's
Gen A. Okay, last two. These are just for you.
Die first and choke on my beer.
I'm like the waiter. As soon as you take a bite of food, I'm asking.
All right, I'm good.
What would you change in the fraternity if you had free reign?
Man.
Fix all the problems in the world with Freemasons.
Yeah, we're going to do it right here tonight.
Bring more sheep in. No.
What would I change?
Give the candidates free Velcro gloves?
Yes, for they can catch that sheep all the time, yes. What would I change in for? Make it maybe easier. Shouldn't say really easier.
Don't hurt yourself.
I know.
The smoke's coming out.
Yeah, I bet it probably is. Amish is having a hard time computing right now.
And turn the wood stove on?
Yeah, maybe.
Have candles lit to make you feel at home.
Yeah. It's just all these bright lights. We're not used to these Amish folk. But what I would probably change is just getting maybe easier access to the knowledge from our older generation. Well, I want it so hard. I was trying to do so many events this year to keep our lodge invested, like family events and stuff like that. Either A got canceled or nobody ever showed up. We had our lodge picnic this year. That was our biggest outing that we had this year.
It's pretty good.
I want to bring some of the older guys back to bring knowledge back. To maybe make it easier for them to learn degree work, ritual work, or just some of the words. That may be the only thing I'd love to change is how do we bring back our older generation that has
there's a lot to
stepped
be
aside
said.
Or retired.
There's you know lot, what yeah. you got to do, and just popped in my head as you're talking about this, we've got to ask them personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to, I know maybe, you know, is it difficult getting to the meeting? Can someone pick you up and bring you? But your knowledge is beneficial to us. We need you there. And I think we need to personally reach out to our older generation of Masons in, within our lodges and say, we need you there.
Yeah.
You know, you were mentored, you were brought up by Masons ahead of you that brought you up. We need you there to do the same for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always make the joke, and I hope nobody feels bad about it, but, you know, like, the past masters that sit on the sideline and say, that's not how we did it in my year. But there reaches a point where that tribal knowledge disappears.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the really sad part, is maybe somebody made the past master feel not welcome, so he quit coming to lodge. I mean, if it's unpleasant, you're not going to go, right?
Yeah.
Where you have guys like us that I know 100% all of us thrive on the history of our fraternity and the men that made it what it is. So I'm 100% agreeance. If we can get these older guys back to lodge, you know, some of these 40, 50, 60 year members, the amount of knowledge that they have about how things have been done, how they should be done, you know, because just because the way we do it now doesn't mean it's the right way.
No. Right.
You know? And I'm sure there are a lot of right ways, but I'm always open to more options.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the good thing about other lodge visits, that you know, you're going from your lodge to different lodges, visiting what's going on to see what is working for them and can it work for you? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, there's nothing secret, and we should be sharing everything with all the other lodges of what is benefiting us. Yeah. Can it benefit you?
Right. The lodge visits were nice this year. We we started out the year strong, and then I got a little wore out. It's this. There's new different things that happen each lodge, but it's just another business meeting, as I see it. I got a little wore out this year. He kept going all year. Maybe it's because I did lodges within our Omaha area, and I knew most of the brothers I was going to see or have been to some of these lodges. But yeah, he's right. Nice to see what other lodges are doing, and communication would be nice between all of us. And that we have our masters and wardens meetings here. Yeah, it gets put out, but that's just coming from the masters and wardens of each lodge. We, as the regular folk, as not masters or wardens, don't quite all get that information.
Yeah. My favorite one, by the way, was when we visited the Nat Hunter Lodge, which is under the Prince Hall jurisdiction.
Yes, that was amazing.
That was, if you guys ever get a chance to visit.
Do so. Do
yeah,
so.
It's fantastic. Yes. It's just to see the differences and just like their floor work.
Yep. Yeah, God.
I mean, it's essentially, the basis of it is the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just the way it's done is so intriguing and fascinating to me. That was by far the most fun lodge I've ever been to.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hands down.
You totally agree on that one.
Okay, last one. We'll try to make it quick. We're getting really short on time now. What's the craziest conspiracy you have ever heard about our fraternity?
Well, I heard of some KKC stuff from some lodges down in the south that were involved in Masonry as a KKK member. Who knows?
Well, I think I'm not a historian, and I'm probably going to have to apologize for this on future episodes, but wasn't the Knights of the Golden Circle a southern branch? It was like a spinoff of Freemasonry.
Yes, they were.
I don't think they were affiliated with any Grand Lodge of Freemasonry.
No.
But it was a lot of Masons started this Knights with the Golden Circle, and they were definitely all Confederate minded.
Which I'm sure in the past there was a lot of crossover in a lot of things.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Like, and back in the day, that was widely accepted.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Yeah, I'm big on history. I'm big on history makes us what we are today. I don't think we should be tearing down statues and ripping up or burning Confederate flags. For burning American flags, And we're back. Yeah. More technical difficulties.
Yep.
Damn, this is fun.
Stupid technology. Don't we just all love it?
We might get better. Who knows?
Yeah.
See, where were we at? Don't burn a GD flag. I'll stomp a mud hole in your ass.
Except for, like I said, for retirement reasons.
Yeah, retiring a flag, that's actually the only legal way to get rid of a flag. And if it is unserviceable, that's great. If you burn it in anger, I'm coming for you. That's all. I might be old and fat, but I'm still a Marine. I can do anything once. Did we get the shout out? Who do you want to give a shout out to?
I want to shout out Derek Loberg. We've already done it a couple different times. He's been hella helpful this year. He stepped in quite a few times when somebody hasn't shown up for lodge in one of our positions. He steps in. He'll, where am I going to sit tonight? Derek, here you go. Thanks, brother, for stepping in. All my brothers from all my lodges that have helped this year between Ben Sala and John Diamond and, wow, AJ has been a couple times this year. But I like to shout out all of our brothers for putting up with us and helping us out all the time because we're really short on trying to get degree work. We have to usually go outside to get that.
Get the help.
And get the help. We do.
And we always get it.
And we do. Yep. So, and that's the nice thing about our brothers here in Omaha. Especially Ben Sala and John Damon and AJ and I always forget his name.
Celio.
There we go. Yeah, Celio steps in and does the charge for us for our EA degree and
I think he's expressed interest in being on the show. John helped you
this year, too. I would love to see Lee be on the show. Yep, and Herbal Shimer. There we go. Herbal Shimer, yep.
My eye doctor.
And he is firmly in the grand line.
Yes absolutely.
That's exciting. Dave, who are you shouting out to?
Who do I want to shout out to? Shout out to our newest potentate at Tangier Shrine, Brian Deming and his lady, Erin. Excited for their year. Doing some new things. So it should be a fun year at Tangier with a new rodeo coming up.
Oh, we can talk about that now.
Sure, yes we can.
Okay, so this might run a little bit long. So we've replaced the circus because it was not even close to profitable, right?
Absolutely not.
It was breaking even if we were
doing good. So we have brought to the Sarpy County Fairgrounds.
Correct.
A national circuit professional rodeo.
Correct.
As a fundraiser for Tangier Shrine.
Correct.
Out fucking standing. I love it.
That's great.
Love it.
It's part of PRCA, correct, is who it is?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay, so if you guys don't know what PRCA is, these guys are trying to get on the PBR circuit, the Professional Bull Riders Rodeo Association. Huge. PRCA is guys that are well-rounded cowboys riding bulls or horses, whatever they may be doing.
It is the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association.
Yep.
And I actually, I think you have it.
I do.
I have a buckle that I may or may not have. This is revealing something.
Are we getting old?
I have a buckle that I won with in team roping in high school and have handed it down to Senior Heath.
Cool.
It's a nice, it's a nice bronze PRCA buckle.
Nice.
We placed fairly well in the high school finals.
Nice. I didn't know that one. That's a new one. Huh?
I still have boots and a Stetson, and I just don't wear them very often.
I know what you use the rope for. You and Manny do that kind of thing with the rope.
Right, the trapeze.
Okay. You used to be a clown, so they're going to throw the trapeze at I there. But now we're going to play cowboy.
So, Jason.
I can't follow that. Skip me. No.
Who are you shouting out to, Jason?
He's put me on the spot.
I'm just going to say, your wife is sitting right there.
Wow. Shout out to the wife for putting up with me. And shout out to my brothers for...
I'm gonna have to give one more shout out to your son, stepping up this year and deciding to be Worshipful Master. I'm very excited to see what his year is going to bring this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. He was excited.
He's excited. We were just discussing that again last night a little bit. So, he's a little nervous, but I said you've got a lot of individuals that have been through it. And
we're all nervous when we first start. Absolutely.
Nervous is good.
Yeah.
Mine, I'm going to hands down shout out to my wife for putting up with all my shit and letting me spend so much time over here at your house doing this. To put together an hour episode is several hours of planning, and just today we were doing an audio check this afternoon and found out, damn it, we have to go buy a new microphone because the other one took a gigantic dump on us.
Yeah, gigantic.
But yeah, my wife Mandy, she puts up a lot of my shit and still lets me do the things I need to do or want to do. So, what about you, kiddo?
Just want to give a shout out to everybody who stepped up in our line of officers for our lodge this year, and hope to, you know, wish them well for this year.
All right.
You two are going to do fine from being thrown into the hell's fire last month. You two did pretty well knocking it out of the ballpark, so I think we have our top three line officers for this year are going to knock it out of the park.
Yep. Yeah. If you did stop and see us at Grand Lodge, you did not see Heath.
Nope.
He won't see me either. I've had enough of Grand Lodge. I hate
Well, yeah, but he's junior ward. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I'm a peon.
You'll be a has-been.
I won't
be
a peon. I'm just the chaplain I read out of a book. Right. So, yeah.
But, he's doing a service to his country that weekend.
Yep. Yes, so. He has drill that weekend, and they get a little narrow-minded when you don't go to drill.
Yeah, a little bit.
So on that note, if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, smash the like and subscribe button. Leave us a comment. We'd love to read some comments on future episodes. We'll give you a shout out. Send us an email, studio357podcast@gmail.com. If you want to advertise with us, because this microphone was not cheap by my standards, probably cheap by somebody else's, but not by mine. I mentioned on the last episode, between the two of us, probably mostly me, we spent a measurable ass ton of money on this so far, but it is fun, and we do it because we love it. Hopefully you do too. But if you want to advertise with us, send us an email. We don't have a matrix still of what it costs to get a spot on the show, or, you know, we'll mention you everywhere we go. We'll just work something out. It's like Mason's deal with handshakes, so we'll figure it out.
Yep.
So, on that note, hopefully everybody has something in their cup.
Yeah.
That doesn't clink very well.
Yeah, well.
Now we're talking.
There you go.
Long reach.
Long reach.
Here's to what I believe is now a highly tolerable podcast.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
We're getting better fast. Here's to our new microphone.
Yeah.
Good brother.
Thanks, microphone.
Good conversation.
Yep.
And no feedback noise.
Yes.
I hope.
Hopefully.
Finally.
We'll see when this airs. Right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody out there.
What was I going to say?
Travel well, brothers.
Travel well, my brothers. Till next time.
Travel well.